Hello and welcome to PharmaLex Talks podcast. Today I'm speaking with Claire Huntington about the new roles and obligations for what are referred to as economic operators under the EU's medical device regulation. These economic operators, Claire explains, are essentially an entity that is involved in placing a medical device on the EU market. Claire is Director and Head of Medical Devices, IVD, UK at PharmaLex, where she leads the UK and EU team and consults on a wide range of topics, such as drug device combination products, clinical trials, device classification and regulatory submissions, and post-market requirements. Welcome, Claire, and thank you for taking the time to share your knowledge about MDR and its implications for all stakeholders involved.
Hi, Kim, and thank you for the introduction.
Let's begin by looking at who those economic operators are, and then perhaps we can explore how their roles have changed.
Certainly. So there are four economic operators under the EU Medical Devices Regulation. We've got manufacturers, the authorised representative, or AR, importers, and distributors. The manufacturer's responsibilities are described in Article 10 of the MDR, and whilst a number of the responsibilities are largely similar to those under the Medical Devices Directive, there are some significant additions as well. So one of the key changes for manufacturers is the requirement for them to register on the EudaMed database. This is a significant change because there is a lot of information involved and it requires ongoing review and updates. Furthermore, currently only three of the six interconnected modules are currently available, which makes it more difficult for manufacturers to comply with all aspects of the MDR. Manufacturers also have to appoint a person responsible for regulatory compliance, known as PRRC, which is a role that's similar to the qualified person in the pharmaceutical industry. And they are responsible for performing checks and signing off every stage. So you have a PRRC for clinical trials, for CE marking, for post-market activities, and so on. You can have multiple people handling those different functions, but they must have certain qualifications. So they must have a degree or other formal qualification that's recognised as equivalent by the EU member states, plus 1 year of professional experience. Alternatively, they can have 4 years of professional experience in regulatory affairs or quality management systems that relate to devices. It's worth mentioning that manufacturers can outsource the PRRC role if they are a micro or small enterprise. However, the requirements are that that person should be permanently and continuously at their disposal. When the MDR was first released, actually, there was a lot of discussion as to what permanently and continuously means. Do you have to have someone available 24/7? Are they allowed to take days off? It's since been clarified through guidance from the Medical Device Coordination Group that this requires a permanent contract in place rather than anything more onerous than that.
Are there other considerations for manufacturers that might impact their workload?
Yeah, so one area that will place additional burdens on the manufacturer is the medical device technical file, which needs to be much more comprehensive now. However, this isn't a totally new requirement as such. What is new is the requirement to place a unique device identification, or UDI, in place. Another key change is that in the past, under the directive, for a Class 1 device, you only had to have a couple of procedures for things such as vigilance reporting, but you didn't need to have a full quality management system. Now, under Article 10, it outlines the minimum requirements on the quality management system for all manufacturers. That's quite a significant change for some of those smaller companies that were self-certifying medical devices under Class 1.
Let's turn to the second economic operator affected by the MDR.
The role of the authorised representative has really changed. Under the directive, it was very much considered as simply a postbox or an email channel for the EU competent authorities. But now the MDR states that the authorised representative shall be legally liable for defective devices on the same basis as and jointly and severally with the manufacturer. So the authorised rep now needs to be much more familiar with the manufacturer's products. The AR also needs to have a PRRC who cannot be the same person as for the manufacturer. This is a question we often get, particularly when the manufacturer is a large corporation headquartered outside of the EU. For example, the US, which is where the device may be officially manufactured, but they have an office in the EU. So they would traditionally pool a lot of their resources, but they aren't allowed to appoint the same person as the PRRC for the manufacturer. There is also a requirement to update information on the EUDAMED, although to a lesser extent than the legal manufacturer. The AR does, however, need to have a mandate in place, which indicates which products or groups of products they are representing. This mandate will then be uploaded onto the EUDAMED database, and if at any point the AR realizes that the device or the manufacturer is not fulfilling their obligations, they have to remove that mandate from the EUDAMED, inform the competent authority in their member state, and inform the notified body. So some people consider this role to be akin to a mini notified body because they have a lot more responsibilities. What will be interesting is the potential for a conflict of interest between the manufacturer and authorized rep. After all, in the medical device world, everybody is a customer of everyone else. And in this case, the authorized representative's customer is the manufacturer, and they don't want to lose their customers. We don't know how it's going to work in practice, whether they're really going to comply to the letter of the law or try and help their clients, the manufacturers, to resolve the situation rather than terminate the mandate right away.
Yes, I can see how that could be a potentially complex situation. Let's look now at the other economic operators and how MDR impacts their roles.
The final two are the importers and distributors. And it's worth mentioning that previously, neither had any obligations under the directive. So this is completely new. In the past, the only thing that they may have had to do was register in their country of origin. What should be noted, however, is that importers have always had liability, which is covered by a separate directive regarding liability for directive products, Directive 85/374/EEC. The main obligations for the importer listed in Article 13 include checking the device has been CE marked and requirements related to this have been followed, checking there is an AR if it's needed, if the manufacturer is outside of the EU, and checking that the labelling and information for use documents are compliant with the MDR. They also need to check that a UDI has been assigned and include their name on either the device packaging or a document accompanying the product. Importers will also have to register on the EUDAMED database. When the product is in their care, they will have to make sure they're storing it and transporting it to maintain compliance with the general safety and performance requirements and complying with the conditions set by the manufacturer. They'll need to keep a register of complaints and make sure that they provide that information to the manufacturer, AR, and distributors. And then again, if they think anything has not been done in conformity with the regulation, they have to inform all stakeholders.
Clearly, there is a lot more involved for the importer. How about the distributor? How does their role change?
Distributors have slightly fewer requirements than importers, but they should still make sure that the device has been CE marked and that there is an EU declaration of conformity. They would check the IFUs and labelling comply and check that the importer has complied with their requirements and that the UDI has been assigned. It states in Article 14, which covers the obligations for distributors, that a sampling method can be used, which is representative of the devices supplied by that distributor, so they don't have to check absolutely everything. If the distributor doesn't think the device is in conformity, they shouldn't make the device available, should inform the manufacturer and the authorized rep and importer. And if they think the device presents a serious risk or is a falsified device, they also need to inform the competent authority. It's really just adding extra checks to support the activities of the manufacturer and to try and reduce the possibility for fraud or non-conformities. There is one other key activity for distributors, and that is complaint management. Because distributors are often the people that take the products into hospitals, for example, and may therefore be the first group to hear about any complaints or issues. So they have to make sure that they are providing that feedback to the manufacturer, AR, and importer, and that they keep a register of that. Both importers and distributors will need procedures in place to make sure that they are managing these activities as required. This has the potential to be quite a significant challenge. If the distributor is not in the medical device field already, they wouldn't necessarily know about these issues. So it's important, therefore, that manufacturers take care when they have agreements with these companies, and they must make sure that they're aware of their obligations under the MDR and that the quality agreements reflect this.
Thank you for those explanations, Claire. Obviously, a number of stakeholders in the industry are affected, but does it affect other industries beyond medical devices?
So it definitely impacts medicinal product manufacturers who will often ship their products with a delivery device of some sort, whether it be a medicine with a spoon or a measuring cup or a pre-filled syringe. If they are using the CE mark on that product, they essentially become distributors or importers of medical devices. That means they will need to update their quality management systems to make sure that their importing sites and distributing sites are meeting these obligations. There may also be companies that primarily make cosmetics, but that are also distributing products that fall under the category of medical devices. And this is proving to be a big challenge because it's not something that these companies will have thought about, but they do need to be compliant under the MDR.
Obviously, that will have an impact on those industries. Can we look at how the new requirements for importers and distributors work in practice, particularly for large organizations?
A multinational company might have their manufacturer in the US. Perhaps the authorized representative is based in Ireland, but the products being imported from a German hub, and all your different countries' organizations are then distributing it. So the question companies have is, who has to do what? So while the requirements are more onerous, there are a number of ways that they can manage the process. You can amend supply chain contracts to include the delegation of these checks. By way of example, if all the products are shipped into one EU hub, importers at that hub could perform all the necessary checks on arrival, and then they could even perform the distributor check on behalf of all the different locations on product departure. So companies can pool resources between different economic operators and avoid having to do the distributor check at every site. If they import the product to multiple locations, they would still need to register as importers, but they could centralize the check before they leave the site of manufacture. There's no doubt that it's an additional task, and those in-country distributors would still have to do things like complaint management. So they're not going to be able to get rid of all the requirements under Article 14, but they can work collectively to minimize the burden. A key consideration is that supply chain contracts and quality agreements are really watertight and updated to reflect these obligations, because at some point these organizations could be audited, and certainly manufacturers will be asked about their processes during their audits. They will need to show how their importers and distributors are operating and that they are fully aware of everything being done as it should be.
Thank you for joining me today, Claire, and for sharing your insights on the changing obligations of the economic operators under the MDR. Thank you also to our listeners. I hope you take some valuable information from this episode and apply it in one way or another to your business. Please make sure you subscribe so you can join us for future podcasts.